that person will suddenly become surprisingly your avid supporter. But by having the truth on your side and having good character, that a person will turn those whose hearts are against the religion towards the religion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us keys for good. We want to read from some of what is written by Shaykh Abdul Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala. And he has many books that he wrote about the superiority and virtue and beauty of Islam. And probably the shortest treatise that he wrote is what I have in front of me. We'll be able to read some of today and take some of the most important points from. It is called Nubdatun Mukhtasara Ijmaliyatun An al-Islam وَالْإِشَارَةُ إِلَى مُحِمَّاتِ مَحَاسِنِهِ. A brief overall glimpse at Islam and an indication to some of its most important aspects of beauty. So all of Islam is beautiful. Indeed Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is جَمِيلٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ. Allah is beautiful and He loves beauty. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in His essence, He is beautiful. There's nothing more beautiful than the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeing Allah in the hereafter. Allah in His names and His attributes is beautiful. Allah in His actions, nothing of His actions go outside of His wisdom and what is of a greater good for the creation. And His mercy and His justice, tabarak wa ta'ala. And indeed what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, all of it is beautiful. All of the beliefs, all of the information, all of the orders, all of the prohibitions, all of the laws of Islam, all of them are very beautiful and very beneficial. This is the reality of the religion being the truth. The word truth in the Arabic language is used in two ways. Just as the word batil, which is the opposite of truth, is used in two ways. It is that which is mawjood, mutabiq lilwaqi', and that which actually exists. It is real. Is an agreement to reality. It's not a fantasy. It's not a fiction. And that which is matlub, that which is pursued and sought after because of its benefit. This is the meaning of truth, and the opposite of that is batil. Batil is that which is false, has no basis in reality, or that which may exist la fa'idata fihi, without any tangible benefit. And that which is marghubun an, which a person doesn't want and flees from. That which is futile, that which has no benefit for mankind, that is batil. Is batil. So, when we analyze issue after issue, the religion of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, each and every single issue in the religion by itself is enough of a hujjah upon the creation. What is contained within the beliefs of Islam and the laws of Islam is a tremendous evidence. Each and everything is a tremendous evidence for the beauty of Islam and the trueness of Islam. Shaykh As-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala, he begins by defining Islam. He says, Al-Islam الَّذِي هُوَ الْإِسْتِسْلَامُ لِلَّهِ بِالْتَوْحِيدِ بِاعْتِقَادِ كَمَالِهِ الَّذِي لَا غَيَةَ فَوْقَهُ فِي الْكَمَالِ. He said, Islam is to surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tawheed, by singling out Allah with worship. Islam is to surrender to Allah, to comply with Allah, by singling out Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in worship. It's the definition of Islam. To surrender to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and single Him out with worship, subhanahu wa ta'ala. الَّذِي لَا غَيَةَ فَوْقَهُ فِي الْكَمَالِ. To single out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by believing in the perfection of Allah, that Allah is perfect. That Allah is perfect. The most beautiful thing in Islam, as we'll come to see, is the creed of Ahl Sunnah. The creed of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What we believe about Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The most convincing thing and the most effective thing in calling people to Islam is to know about Allah and His names and His attributes as He described Himself and as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam described Him. It is the thing that is closest to the fitra of the human being, as most easily accessible to the intellect of the human being. to know Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, to know about His perfection. He says, so it is that a person believes in the perfection of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the kamal of Allah, الَّذِي لَا غَيَةَ فَوْقَهُ فِي الْكَمَالِ, that is to such a degree that there is no perfection beyond. And it is the highest thing that the human mind can grasp of perfection, and even beyond that, what can be grasped by the human mind. الَّذِي مُتَعَلَّقُهُ مَا جَاءَتْ بِهِ الرُّسُلْ مِنْ صِفَاتِ الْمَوْلَى, and what is connected to that perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the subject matter of that perfection, the details of that, what is relevant to that perfection, is everything that the messengers of Allah alayhim as-salatu wasalam taught us about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of His perfect attributes. So tawheed, this belief that we have about Allah and who Allah is and why Allah deserves to be worshipped alone without partners, is the creed of the prophets and the messengers, all of them. This is extremely important. You saw right before the month of Ramadan, some unfortunate, ignorant person, in the course of giving da'wah, جَوَّزَ لِلَّهِ أُمُورًا مُسْتَحِيلًا, he made it possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do things that are impossible. That Allah can do things that are impossible. There are things that are from the realm of mustahilat, that which is impossible. And it doesn't even go into the conversation of what Allah can and cannot do. It is the conversation of what Allah will and will not do. What Allah will and will not do. Allah will not do anything that is contrary to His perfection and contrary to His wisdom, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And right now, out of the month of Ramadan, another individual YouTube personality has appeared and verbatim, word for word, has called the kuffar to Islam using the tawheed of the philosophers, which is to negate Allah's, without him even knowing it. His argument is the argument of Ibn Sina and Fakhruddin al-Razi, inviting people to a belief about the Creator that negates, with this person being unsuspecting and not knowing, negates Allah's essence and His names and His attributes. The basis of ilhad, of all the deviant sects and deviating about the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that in the end amounts in atheism. Because a person didn't know, didn't have the most basic tools to talk about the religion, which is the basic structure of the belief system of the people of Sunnah wal Jama'ah pertaining Allah's names and attributes. So when people say that these affairs are unimportant and these things, they're just theoretical debates and so on and so forth, we say this is the core of Islam that everything is built upon. Why we worship Allah and what causes us to love Allah, what causes us to fear Allah, and what causes us to hope in the mercy and reward and forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what causes us to rely upon Allah, is all connected to the belief that we have about Allah's names and attributes, who Allah is and His perfection, and how He is free of all defect and imperfection that runs contrary to His perfect attributes. So the Shaykh, he says that Islam is to surrender to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala with tawheed by believing in the perfection of Allah that is beyond any other perfection that is imaginable. That is related to the teachings of the prophets and the messengers pertaining Allah's perfect attributes. وَإِثْبَاتُ صِفَاتْ عَلَى الْوَجْهِ اللَّائِقِ بِعَظَمَةِ اللَّهِ وَكَمَالِهِ الْمُطْلَقِ, and by affirming the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that is befitting for the greatness, the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His unrestricted perfection. وَالْعِلْمِ الْيَقِينِي بِأَنَّهُ الْخَالِقُ الرَّازِقُ الْمُدَبِّرُ لِجَمِيعِ الْكَائِنَاتِ, by a person having certain knowledge that Allah is the Creator and He is the Provider, He is the Provider and He is the Mudabbir, He is the Controller of the entire universe. دَقِيقِهَا وَجَلِينِهَا, that which is on an enormous scale in the universe and that which is minuscule in the universe. Allah is the Controller of every atom that moves in this universe. It's under the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. عُلْوِيهَا وَصُفْلِيهَا. Everything from the highest part of the universe to the lowest part of the universe is under the sovereignty and rule and authority of Allah تبارك وتعالى. وَأَنَّهُ لَيَأْتِي بِالْخَيْرِ إِلَّهُ وَلَا يَدْفَعُ شَرَّ إِلَّهُ. And they believe that none can bring about goodness except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that none can ward off and protect from evil except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That all affairs are ultimately in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the most that anything can be is part of the reason of how Allah makes something happen. But Allah ultimately is the controller of all affairs, and the provider of all of His creation, and the protector of all of His creation, and so on and so forth. وَأَنَّ النِّعْمَ كُلَّهَا مِنَ اللَّهِ لَا فَرْقَ بَيْنَ دِينِيَّةِ وَدُنْيَوِيَّةِ. And that they believe that all blessings are from Allah. And so they ascribe all blessings to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that they emanate and originate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that causes them to increase in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it causes them to increase in gratitude for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they see that all blessings pertaining to the affairs of religion and the worldly affairs of a person are all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person's wife, their children, their property, their wealth, all of that is from Allah. Every breath that a person takes, every day that a person enjoys good health, even sickness is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything that happens is from the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all the blessings that they receive in their life, that which they realize and that which they don't realize, are all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا بَيْنَ مَا حَصَلَ بِسَبَبْ أَوْ بِغَيْرِ سَبَبٍ مِنَ الْعَبْدِ. And they realize that those things that they receive of blessings by their own personal efforts, that they are ultimately from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's Allah who gave them the knowledge and the wherewithal and the strength and the health and everything else that they needed to acquire the things that they have. That is from Allah, and the thing that they attained by using their personal efforts is also from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that which they made no effort in getting is also from Allah. They make no distinction between those things. All of that is from Allah. All of their blessings are from Allah. فَإِنَ الْأَسْبَابَ كُلَّهَا بِيَدِ اللَّهِ. For indeed, all of the means that are at the disposal of the human being are in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the general belief of the Muslim pertaining Allah's lordship and His perfection and His names and His attributes subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is it easy belief? Is it simple belief? The children can understand it. Old folks can understand it. The youth can understand it. The elders can understand it. Everybody can understand it in any language. Throughout human history, it's something universal and it can be easily grasped and easily understood. That is the core of the belief of the person. And that has an effect upon their heart and upon their statements and upon their actions. This is the reality of the religion. Now once a person has his i'tiqad, once a person has his core of creed that his heart is tied to, what comes as a result of that? He says, rahimahullah ta'ala, ثُمَّ امْتَلَأَ الْقَلْبُ مِنْ تَعْظِيمِ اللَّهِ. And then as a result of this knowledge, and this belief system that he has, these simple beliefs that he has about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his heart is filled with ta'zeem of Allah, with recognition of Allah's greatness and magnificence, and he venerates Allah, and he reveres Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and he respects Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْإِنَابَةِ إِلَيْهِ فِي كُلِ الْأُمُورِ. And it causes him to constantly turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all situations. Meaning that no matter what he experiences in his life, it causes him to turn back to Allah. If he is experiencing something of good, then he turns to Allah with gratitude and thankfulness. If he is experiencing something of difficulty, then he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with patience and dua. If he is being tested with shortcomings on his part, and he falls into sin and disobedience, then his sin and his disobedience cause him to become penitent and turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the concept of al-inaba. The concept of al-inaba, of turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is half of the religion. The scholars, they say, as Ibn Qayyim, he said in Madarij al-Salikin, he said, الدين نصفان فنصف توكل ونصف إنابة. The religion has two halves. There are two halves to Islam. One half of Islam is putting your reliance upon Allah, seeking the help and assistance of Allah, and the other half of Islam is constantly turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the reality of إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. So this is the effect of this belief system, this creed that the person has about Allah تبارك وتعالى. This simple belief system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-knowing, that Allah is all-powerful, that Allah sees all things and hears all things and controls all things and is the cause of the existence of all things, that Allah is the one who controls the benefit and the harm. This very simple belief system pertaining Allah's names, His attributes and His actions and His lordship and His authority over the universe has these effects within the person. Has these specific effects upon a person that it causes him to, if we were just to summarize all of it, to love Allah more than anything else and to recognize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as being greater than anything else. And this is the driving force of his submission, of why he is compliant with the orders of Allah and why he abstains from the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of his mahabba and ta'zeem, to the point that some of the scholars of the Arabic language, they mention in the definition of ibadah in the Arabic language, ibadah, not its religious definition, but its linguistic definition, they say, is having the highest level, غَايَةُ الظُّلْ لِمَنْ لَهُ غَايَةُ الْإِفْضَانِ. It is that a person has the highest level, the peak, the summit of الظُّلْ, of humility and compliance, for the one who has shown them غَايَةُ الْإِفْضَانِ, the highest level and the peak and the summit of kindness and mercy. And so because Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has shown His grace in more ways than is countable and imaginable and even can be realized by the human being, they are humbled by the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is why they comply. This is why they submit, because they know that the one who has ordered the prohibitions, that he has not ordered those prohibitions بُخْلًا مِنْهُ عَلَيْهِمْ, because he is stingy and doesn't want them to have some things that would benefit them. But he has forbidden them from those things because they are harmful. And he will not be harmed by the disobedience of his creation. But out of his mercy he has forbidden those things, destructive behaviors for us. And the one who has ordered them with what he has ordered them, he has no need of them, تبارك وتعالى. But rather he has ordered what he has ordered for their benefit, beyond what they can imagine. This is the core of the creed of Islam. What a person believes about Allah makes him single out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with love, hope, and fear. With love and veneration and hope and fear and reliance and inaba and a long list of other things that are from the ibadah of the heart, the worship of the heart, that come as a result of what a person believes about Allah and knows with certainty and conviction about Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, to the point that nothing can make him forget it. No matter what he's going through, no matter how unnerving it is. Some things make a person lose focus because they're so enjoyable. Some of the blessings that a person encounters causes them to be ghafil, to be heedless of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded, and cause them to disobey Allah with what Allah has blessed him with. وَمَا مِنَّا إِلَّا. And there's not a single one of us except that we disobey Allah with the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people, the tests that they go through make them forget basic things about their religion, basic things about what they believe about Allah, and the fact that Allah knows and is watching and hears and so on and so forth. And they forget about the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they become kanood. They count their tests and they forget all their blessings and they start complaining to the creation about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the believer, the Sunni, Salafi, his heart should be attached to the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Ibn Qayyim, he said in his book, Idatul Sabirin, his book about patience and gratitude, he said at the end of his book, he said, وَمَنْ تَعَلَّقَ بِصِفَةِ مِنْ صِفَاتِهِ أَخَذَتْهُ بِيَدِهِ حَتَّى تُدْخِلَهُ عَلَيْهِ. That whoever connects their heart to an attribute from the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that knowledge that they have will grab them by the hand until it brings them all the way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until it enters them upon Allah for the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So some people, they know Allah more by way of Allah's punishment. They see the justice of Allah. they have done certain things in their life and they saw the immediate ramifications of that. And say that they know that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is swift in reckoning. They know that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is fair and just. Some people, they know about Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala by way of His mercy. And they haven't encountered difficulty and hardship and adversity in their life. And so on and so forth. But they know about the mercy of Allah. And the kindness of Allah. And the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people, they know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by way of... The best way to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by flipping through the pages of the Mus'haf and looking for the description of Allah, how Allah has described Himself in His book, page after page after page. And they know everything that the believer is obligated to know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no matter what they go through in their life, they can act according to their knowledge of the names of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This is the meaning of the hadith, the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said that Allah has 99 names, 100 minus 1, whoever ahsaha dakhala al-jannah, whoever ahsaha fully encompasses them, fully grasps them, will enter the paradise. Meaning that he knows these names, and he knows their meanings, and he acts accordingly. And he acts according to his knowledge. He acts according to his knowledge. So Shaykh As-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, so as a result of this belief that he has, the most beautiful thing in Islam, the belief that we have about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brings about within the person the fruit of his venerating Allah, constantly turning to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, recognizing Allah as the sole deity, worthy of worship. بِمَا شَرَعَهُ عَلَىٰ أَلْسِنَةِ رُسُلِهِ. And he worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by way of what Allah legislated upon the tongues of his prophets and his messengers. He worships Allah sincerely with sincerity, according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed of divine revelation to the messengers in general and to the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specifically. We worship Allah tabarak wa ta'ala with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated. Wa ta'atihi wa ta'ati rusulihi khususan Muhammad. He said, and by way of obeying Allah and obeying the messengers, specifically and most particularly by obedience to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, الَّذِي نَحْنُ مَأْمُرُونَ بِالْإِيمَانِ بِهِ وَبِمَا جَاءَ بِهِ جُمْلَةً وَتَفْصِيلًا. The one that we are ordered to believe in, and to believe in all that he came with, in a broad sense and in a detailed sense. مَعْرِفَةً وَاعْتِقَادًا وَعَمَلًا. To learn about it, to believe it to be the truth, and to implement and act upon it. هَذَا هُوَ حَقِيقَةُ دِينَ الْإِسْلَامِ وَمُجْمَلَهُ. This is the reality of the religion of Islam. What was just mentioned. These are the two sides of Tawheed. Knowing about Allah and acting upon that knowledge. Knowing about Allah's names, His attributes, and His actions, which is His Lordship. Tabarak wa ta'ala, and acting accordingly by worshipping Allah with the worship of the heart that has an effect and is a driving force behind what a person does in their actions and what they say with their tongue. This knowledge, this tasdeeq, and this inqiyad, this affirmation of belief with certainty, and this inqiyad, this istislam, this surrendering, and this compliance, this is the reality of faith. This is the reality of Islam. It is the reality of iman. That a person has correct beliefs that cause them to comply with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded mankind with, and brings purpose to their lives. He says, رحمه ta'ala, هَذَا هُوَ حَقِيقَةُ دِينَ الْإِسْلَامِ وَمُجْمَلَهُ. This is the reality of the religion of Islam. And it is the mujmal, it is a summary of all of Islam. All of Islam is Tawheed. There is nothing in Islam except that it is directly connected to what we just mentioned. It is directly connected to our belief about Allah and our singling out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with worship. All of Islam is Tawheed. So any person who denigrates the status of Tawheed and acts like Tawheed is something that's unimportant, we say to this person, يَلْزَمُهُ أَنْ يَبْدَى مِنْ جَدِيدٍ. This person needs to begin all over again. He hasn't understood the most fundamental of affairs. He hasn't understood what the old woman of Naysabur understood in the earliest generations of Islam. The unlettered, illiterate people understood in the deserts and in the marshes and in the far reaches of Asia and Africa and so on and so forth, understood of the most basic core of faith and its simplicity that caused him to embrace Islam without hesitation. The Shaykh, he says, rahimullah ta'ala, هذا هو حقيقة دين الإسلام مجمله والعقائد والشرائع الظاهرة والباطنة المشروعة على الإسلام. He says رحمه الله تعالى والعمل بمثلوله. He says that a person uses as an evidence to remind himself of the one who revealed the revelation and who created the creation. And then they act for the sake of the one that it reminds them of. تبارك وتعالى. وَسَنَّ كُلَّ سُنَّةٍ حَسَنًا وَسَنِّي كُلِّ سُنَّةٍ حَسَنًا وَالتَّحْذِيرِ مِنْ ذِدِّهَا. And the fact that Islam has legislated for people to do every good practice and has warned them from everything that is the opposite of that. وَالتَّوْبَةِ مِنْ جَمِيعِ الْمَعَاصِ and has guided them to how to be penitent and repent and leave off all sin and disobedience. وَالْخُرُوجِ مِنَ الْمَظَالِمِ and how to exit away from and how to absolve themselves from every act of oppression. And what is required to absolve yourself from oppressing others. وَالنَّصْرُ الْمَظْلُومِينَ and how Islam comes to the defense of those who are oppressed and downtrodden. وَقَمْعِ الظَّالِمِينَ and how Islam suppresses the oppressors. وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الشَّرَاعِ الْبَاطِنَ وَالظَّاهِرَةِ and other than that from the laws of the religion and the things that have been revealed that affect the heart of a person and that are connected to the outer statements and actions of a person. أَلَتِي بِمُجَرَّدِ مَا يَتَصَوَّرُهَا صاحب اللب يجزم جزما لا ريب فيه that just by a person knowing about it and realizing the extent of it that any person who is intelligent will have no doubt that this religion and the دين المشتمل عليها هو الدين الحق the religion that contains all of these things is the religion of truth alone it's the only true religion وأن كل ما عارضه فهو باطل and everything that goes against that is falsehood وأنه هو الدين صالح لكل زمان ومكان and that it is a religion that is suitable for all times and all places وأنه لا يدخل وأنه لم يدخل ولن يدخل على الخلق نقص ولا ضرر في دينهم ودنياهم إلا من تضييع هذا الدين and that there is no deficiency nothing that is missing from the lives of people no harm that will befall people pertaining their understanding or practice of religion or pertaining their worldly situations except that it comes as a result of neglecting this religion. الَّذِي كَفَّلَ كَفَالَةً صَارِمَةً أَنَّ مَنْ قَامَ بِهِ اسْتَقَامَتْ أُمُورُهُ وَصَلُحَتْ أَهْوَالُهُ that has guaranteed, this religion that has guaranteed with a certain guarantee that whoever undertakes it and establishes it, then he will find that the entirety of his situation will be established and become stable, and the entirety of his circumstances will be set aright. وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ الدِّينُ الَّذِي يُصْلِحُ الْعُقُولُ وَالْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَخْلَاقُ وَالْآدَابُ وَالتَّرْبِيَةُ النَّافِعَةُ And that it is the deen that fixes the minds of people, and the hearts of people, and the character traits of people, and the etiquettes and manners of people, and it raises them and nurtures them in the most beautiful and beneficial way. وَيَحْفَظُ مِنَ الْإِنْهِيَارِ إِلَى الدَّمَارِ وَالشَّقَاءِ And it safeguards people from collapsing, from societal collapse, into الدَّمَارِ وَالشَّقَاءِ into destruction and misery and ruin. وَالْوَاقِعُ أَكْبَرُ شَاهِدٍ عَلَى هَذَا And the world that we live in is the greatest evidence for that. You see the evidence for everything that you just heard surrounding you at all times and all places. وَمَا مِنْ صَلَاحٍ تَسَرَّبَ إلى أي أمة من الأمم إلا وأصله ومنبعه هذا الدين القويم and that there is nothing that is right and in a state of rectitude and correctness that any nation encounters whatsoever except that the basis and the foundation and the source of it comes from this religion and is found in this religion to the point that Shaykh Uthaymeen Rahimullah Ta'ala he said in his book his small treatise on good character he said Rahimullah Ta'ala that what you see the disbelievers upon, the kufar in the lands of disbelief upon a good character that it is a remnant of the religion of Isa ibn Umariyam and the teachings of the prophets and the messengers. And they are, he said they are insincere and disingenuous in their good character and they only exhibit this good character because they know that it is necessary for them to make their wealth, for them to make their money. So they have civility amongst themselves. And they're kind to each other and so on and so forth, because they know that without that their society will fall into collapse. And you see that happening all around us. Civility is being lost, and rampage shootings, mass school shootings, and things that would have been unheard of just a few decades ago. It is nothing but the symptoms showing what is happening in the hearts of the people, of the disconnectedness and of the rage and of the pain and the anguish that is found in the hearts of the people, that they resort to such terrible and drastic measures, and that wickedness appears in a way that is unspeakable. He says, so whatever good that is found in their situation and the basis of it, and the manba', and where it sprouts from, is this religion, al-qawim, that is straight and correct. وَإِذَا أَرَدْتَ أَن تَعْرِفَ مِقْدَارَهُ فَزِنْهُ بِالْمِيزَانِ الصَّحِيحِ وَالْعَقْلِ الرَّجِيحِ بِكُلِّ دِينٍ خَالَفَهُ تَجِدْ أَنَّهُ لَا نِسْبَةَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَهُ بِوَجْهٍ مِنَ الْوُجُوهِ. He said, and if you want to know the status of this religion, then weigh it with a correct scale and with a strong mind against any other way of life, any other religion. And people make up new religions every day. Everybody has their own thing that they piece together in the society. You live in a society that is multicultural, and this person, he has a little bit of Zen Buddhism mixed with some Christianity, mixed with something that he saw in a video game. You see people, their minds are like the minds of children, right? And if you were to ask them about their belief systems, they would say some stuff that will make anybody intelligent conceal their laughter and not laugh in their face. So you live in a time that is like that. You can weigh anything that opposes the teachings of this religion against a religion, and it falls flat in his face. It falls flat in his face. There is nothing else left for a person to say, except to concede that Islam is the truth, or except to be upset because they are upon falsehood. And there are many reasons why people, despite knowing the truth, as Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala explains in meticulous detail. Rahimahullah ta'ala, how much time we got? What time is Maghrib? It's soon, right?
Maghrib in 45 minutes.
Maghrib's in 45 minutes. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I'm doing that. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala explains in great detail many places in his writings that the majority of the nations that were destroyed despite the fact that they knew that Islam was the truth and were certain of the fact that Islam was the truth. And he mentions many reasons why a person, despite knowing that Islam is the truth, would oppose the truth and fight against the truth in defense of falsehood. And he mentions 10 reasons. Can we take them? Just quickly. Let me see if I could pull them up here. They're in my notes. Last point. Last point has 10 points. So Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he says in his book Miftah Dar al-Sa'ad, in the beginning of the book, explaining that the whole religion is between what we heard, between knowledge and intention. Knowledge and intention, those are the two aspects of Tawheed. To know about Allah, His names, His attributes, and His actions, on account of which He deserves to be singled out with worship, which is intention. Right? So the whole religion is knowledge and intention. And a person may know the truth, but that is not enough to make them a Muslim. In order to be a Muslim and to be a believer, they must not just know the truth, but they must love the truth and comply with the truth. This is the meaning of Islam. It's the meaning of Islam. And he says, there are many reasons why. He said, وَتَفْصِيلُ هَذِهِ الْجُمْلَةِ أَنَ الْعِلْمِ بِكَوْنِ الشَّيْءِ سَبَبًا لِمَصْلَحَةِ الْعَدْوِ وَلَذَّتِهِ وَالسُّرُورِهِ قَدْ يَتَخَلَّفُ عَنْهُ عَمَلُهُ بِمُقْتَضَاهُ لِأَسْبَابٍ عَدِيدًا. He said, to explain what is connected to understanding these two parts of the religion, which is knowledge and intention. Or you could say knowledge and action, because the intention is the action of the heart that drives the action of the limbs. He says that how knowledge of a thing being better for a person and being the cause of joy for a person, and being the cause of true pleasure for a person, despite a person knowing all of that, they still may not act upon it. There are a number of reasons why they will not act upon the truth. They can know the truth, and the majority of nations, he explains in detail, they knew Islam to be the truth and they rejected it because it was an inconvenient truth for them. He mentions 10 reasons. He says, Rahimullah ta'ala, As-sababu al-awwal, the first reason. ضَعْفُ مَعْرِفَتِهِ بِذَلِكِ is that his awareness and his knowledge of that, he knows that, but it is a weak awareness. He doesn't have the full details of it. He doesn't have the full details of it. السَّبَبُ الثَّانِي عَدَمُ الْأَهَلِيَّةِ وَقَدْ تَكُونُ مَعْرِفَتُهُ بِهِ تَامَةً لَكِنْ يَكُونُ مَشْرُوطًا بِزَكَاةِ الْمَحَلِ وَقَبُولِهِ لِلتَّزْكِيَةِ. He says, the second reason is because he is not suited for Islam. He is not suited for Islam. And the truth comes to him, but his heart is not right. His heart is not right. It is unsuitable. It is impure. It is filthy. And he doesn't accommodate, he doesn't make room in his heart for the religion. Because what is tazkiyah? So he mentions here, tazkiyah is a two-step process. It entails removing what is filthy and impure and harmful, and developing and growing a thing. Right? So in order to grow something, the first thing you have to do is get all the weeds and all the shrubs and everything that prevents something from growing out of the way. A person doesn't want to do that. They're holding on to some things, so they have adamul ahaliya. And what he mentions after that of the other means, and we're just hitting bullet points because he elaborates in great detail. So we're just going to mention these 10 things briefly. Last point. So the rest of these, the last 8 points are like building off that last point of his being unsuitable, things that he's holding on to, right? He says, Rahimullah ta'ala, he said, قِيَامُ مَانِعَ السَّبَبُ الثَّالِثِ, the third reason, is that there is something inside of him that is preventing him and obstructing him. And it goes back to two things. إِمَّا حَسَدْ وَإِمَّا كِبْرَ. Either jealousy, he has envy, or he has kibr, or he has arrogance. And so his envy of the people of truth, that they would have preceded him to it. And now he has to catch up, right? Now this person, somebody else has beaten them to the good. And he's envious of that person, but he doesn't want that good for himself, but he doesn't want it for them either, right? So he has envy towards them. Or he has arrogance towards them. وَذَلِكَ مَانِعُ إِبْلِيسِ مِنَ الْإِنْقِيَادِ. That is what prevented Iblis from complying with the order of Allah, Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Likewise, it is what prevented the Yahud from believing in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he was from the Arab. So they were arrogant. And they prevented many of the Quraysh. They said, why wasn't this Quran revealed upon a dignified person, a dignitary from the cities of Mecca or Taif? Meaning, why was it revealed to an orphan? Why was he revealed to an orphan and he was not of very high status amongst us, even though he was from an honorable tribe? He says, so this is the third reason, which is jealousy or kibr or arrogance. And it prevents a person from the truth. And he mentioned before that, before this whole section, he said that the hasid is adu al-ni'm wal-mahasin. And the hasid, the person who is jealous and spiteful, and he is the enemy of blessings. He hates the fact that Allah has blessed you with something. And he denies any good in you. He denies that you have any good in you. So what could be clearly and obviously good and beneficial, because he doesn't like you, and he doesn't like the people of truth, it could be a racist thing. It could be a racist cause. That's a fact with some people. The reason they don't accept Islam is because they think that it's a religion for black folks. And so they don't accept Islam because they say, I'm not black, why would I accept Islam? You could talk to your purple in the face and they would accept everything that you have to say. But they will feel some type of ghadada. They will feel some type of lowliness by accepting Islam. Because they have this kibr in them. And they want to reject any type of mahasin that exists in some people that they don't respect. He says, Rahimullah ta'ala, the fourth of these 10 reasons, mani'u riyasati wal mulk, because of leadership or because of authority. Person may have religious leadership, like a member of the clergy, like a reverend, like a minister, so on and so forth. And if he was to accept Islam, he has influence and sway over all of the people in his congregation. and his income is dependent upon them. And if he was to accept Islam, then he would have to let all of that go for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's not ready to let that go. He's not ready to let that go. Or mulk, or authority. Like we know that Hiraqul, the Heraclius, the king of the Romans, wanted to accept Islam. And told Dihil Kalbi that he believed that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the truth. And even told Dihil Kalbi to tell the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he was a Muslim. Right? But what prevented him from accepting Islam was his authority and his leadership. And so he died upon disbelief. And this was the case with many of the kings during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Qayyim explains that. The sabab al-khamis, the fifth reason, he said, mani'u shahwati wal mal, is that a person's desires or their wealth prevent them. They see that Islam, and he mentions this. He said, Ibn Qayyim, he said that I had many conversations with Christians. And they said that the reason I don't want to accept Islam is because I can't stop drinking khamr. There are people like that, right? There are people like that. You talk to people like that all the time. You call them to Islam, it's like, man, I just like to get high. I know one guy accepted Islam and he apostated because we told him he can't be hugging on his sisters. Well, I like to hug people. He apostated from Islam because he likes to hug people. The shahwa. All the goodness in Islam and this one stupid thing in his mind, people are their own worst enemies. And they just left all their goodness because they like to hug women. You tell them you can't do that? Ah, man, I can't get with that. SubhanAllah, bihamdi. So, their desires or wealth. Some people, they look at the Muslims like that. They say, man, if I'm going to be Muslim, I'm going to be poor. Right? Because I can't do this, I can't do this, and I can't do the third, and so on and so forth. And they look at Islam to be a source of poverty. And they see that Islam may threaten their money. And they go into the workplace and tell the people in there that they're a Muslim. And know them, kuffar are going to start conspiring and plotting and so on and so forth. Right? They know how despicable those people are that they work with in the hierarchy and their job and their career and so on and so forth. And so their wealth and their money keeps them away from Islam. Sixth point. He says, "Mahabbatul ahl wal aqarib wal ashira," their love of their family and their relatives and their tribe prevents them from accepting Islam. So they see and they think that following the truth, that if they follow the truth and oppose their family and what their family is upon, that their family is going to ostracize them. He said, they think their family is going to ostracize them. That happens. That happens. Right? It depends who your mother is. She might put hands on you. Right? You know? You can still feel the nut. You know? Mahabbatul ahl. They love their family. And so their love of their family is greater than the love of Allah and the Messenger and the truth, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? So because of the love in their family and they're not wanting to be ostracized for their family and being on the outs with their family, then they don't accept Islam. They don't accept Islam. He said the eighth cause, تخيل أن في الإسلام متابعة الرسول إزراء وطعنا منه على آبائه وأجداده وذما لهم وهذا هو الذي منع أبو طالب وأمثاله عن الإسلام. That they imagine that by accepting Islam, they imagine that by accepting Islam and by following the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, that this will be disrespect to their ancestors, to their parents and their ancestors, their forefathers. It's a form of disrespect. And they think that if they were to say that this is the truth, then their grandfathers and great-grandfathers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers and so on and so forth, then this will be to say that they were upon faucet. And this is the way to paradise and they were on the way to fire. I've heard that from some of my own family. That they've told me on numerous occasions that I can't wrap my mind around the thought that one of y'all is going to heaven and one is going to hell. So I'd rather be an atheist than to believe in Christianity or Islam. Because it necessarily requires for you to believe that those who are upon kufr, they are upon the wave that leads right to the hellfire. And that Islam is the path leading right to the paradise. And they don't want to say that. To admit that all of their ancestors were wrong. As we mentioned earlier, you could be the first person in hundreds of years, even from the time of the Prophet in your ancestry that was Muslim. And Allah chose you for Islam. And all those people that was related to you in the past, it was all wrong. And there is no udhr for shirk. There's no udhr for shirk. A person who makes shirk with Allah, worship besides Allah, that which there is no authority for. That's why the Prophet, he said, my father and your father in the hellfire to the Bedouin. It's the difference between a person that the message of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not reach him. We asked this question years ago, more than 10 years ago, personally to a Shaykh Saleh Al-Haydan. And this is the answer that he gave. He said, when we combine and look at all the texts together, there's a difference between a person and who are called Ahlul Fatra, people who the message never reached them. But they didn't make shirk. They were upon Tawheed. They never associated partners with Allah in worship. They just didn't believe in Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam because they didn't know the truth of Islam. There's a difference between that person and the person who died upon shirk, who worshipped others besides Allah and died upon that belief. That person, as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, my father and your father in the hellfire, in the Bedouin. He said, where is my father? He said, your father is in the hellfire. And he got upset. He said, where is your father? He said, my father and your father are in the hellfire. And upon saying that, the Bedouin accepted Islam. The Prophet ﷺ would boldly admit that his father is in the hellfire. Was something that was tremendous. Was something that was tremendous. And so this thought in the minds of people, he said, it prevents people from accepting Islam. The thought, the uncomfortable thought, that all of your ancestors were wrong. Whatever they said, it was wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide our families to the truth. He says, As-sababu at-tasi'a, the ninth reason of 10 reasons. What are you talking about? What did we miss? Oh, we missed the seventh point. That was the eighth point. The seventh point is that a person may love his homeland. He may love his homeland even if he doesn't have a tribe or family there, to a point that he would prefer to be with the people of disbelief and not with the people of belief. So he doesn't accept Islam because of his attachment to his homeland. Right? He has never left the block. You know? He doesn't know anything outside of this, you know, this little area right here. And so he's attached to that place. He has an attachment to that place, and so he doesn't accept Islam because of his attachment to the place. And the eighth thing is what we just mentioned before that. And the ninth thing, nine, right? Go on to nine. He says, the fact that Islam may be followed by some people that they hate. And so some people that they have enmity or hostility or hatred for, perhaps because of something in the past, or perhaps just something in the current. They just don't like somebody who is a Muslim, or some people who are Muslim, and their hatred of those people prevent them from accepting the truth. Their hatred of those people prevent them from accepting the truth. And the last reason is probably the most common reason, as Ibn Qayyim mentions in various places, and he calls it a taghut. He calls it a taghut. And he said it is from the most common, if not the most common cause of misguidance, why people would prefer kufr over iman. And he says, al-ilf wal-ada wal-urf, that they are clinging to their upbringing and their culture and what they were raised upon. They don't want to leave that off. That's what they're familiar with. That's what it's called ilf. Ilf is what you're comfortable with. It comes as second nature. You don't have to think about it. And so it's so much. There's so many invariables connected to becoming a Muslim, and Islam is exotic to them. You know, they can't even pronounce Muslim names. You know, what's your name? You know, they start stuttering. They can't even pronounce your name. I'm just going to call you M. Right? You know, Islam is something exotic to them. And you're bringing them something that they just... it's so far away from everything that they know, even if they recognize it to be the truth. Al-ilf wal-ada wal-urf wal-mansha, he says. And what a person is acclimated to, the way he was brought up, his custom, his culture, all of that, it plays a very, very serious role in preventing people from accepting Islam. So now we have mawani. We have an outlook into the psychology of the kufar from the one that they call the doctor of the hearts, right? Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala. You have a good window into the minds of how the creation work and what prevents them from iman, and some tools for dawah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those yastami'una al-qawla fayatabi'una ahsana innahu sami'un qareebun.